when we talk about the Chag of Rosh Hashanah, we know, the Gemara tells us, this is source number one, that the world is judged four times during the year. On Pesach, it's judged regarding the produce of the earth. On Shavuos, it's judged regarding the fruits of the tree. On Rosh Hashanah, all the inhabitants of the world pass before him like B'nai Marom, as it says. He formed all their hearts and understands all of their deeds. And on Sukkot, they're judged regarding water. We know that the Gemara then goes on to ask the question, well, what is we're being judged like Kivnei Marom? Shana is a day of a judgment. We're not being judged for the water, for the fruit, for the wheat. Individuals are being judged. And we're judged, like the Mishnah tells us, we pass before Hashem like B'nai Marom. And the Gemara gives three explanations for what B'nai Marom perhaps may mean. Source 2, one, all pass one by one as sheep before the shepherd. That's the imagery we have in the Sanat Tokef. And we know the Baalei Mussar speak about this imagery in a very poignant terms, that just like a shepherd is counting his sheep to give Meiser, to give a tenth to the Kohen, to the Levi, to give the tithes. So the tenth sheep is marked with an X, right? It's marked with whatever sign that this is the sheep that's going to be given as a korban, or given as a Meiser. The sheep itself doesn't know this. So too, when we are being judged, there's a judgment on us that we don't even see what's being judged on us. It's a very scary type of imagery. That's one, that we are being judged like the sheep. Two, as all pass as those who ascend up the narrow path that leads to Beis Maron, which allows only single file ascent. Beis Maron was a place where you only could walk up this hill one by one in a single file. So we're being judged singularly, one by one. The third approach, all pass like soldiers in King David's army who would parade one by one before his commander to be reviewed and scrutinized. The question obviously we have to ask is, what are these three imageries? We've spoken about this in the past. We'll look at it a little bit differently today, Mirtz Hashem. Why do we need three different metaphors to explain the same idea? And further, we understand that the Gemara begins by talking about each and every one of us is judged as an individual, and then it talks about that we're scrutinized with one glance, which seems to be a universal type of judgment. So is this an individual judgment, or is this a universal judgment? We need to understand that in the Gemara as well. And finally, the question which we've asked many, many times, and each year we're going to come to the same conclusion, but from very different vantage points, and we've seen many different things along the way, is if indeed Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, a day of judgment, then why don't we have, right, Hine Yom HaDin, Lifkol Kol Tzva Marom Badin, that we're all being judged on this day, then why don't we have Vidui, why don't we have confession, why is this included on the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance, if indeed we don't do any type of repentance? There's no Ashabnu by Gadnu, there's no Vidui, there's no Al-Chay. So what indeed, how do we characterize the repentance of Rosh Hashanah? So those are the questions that we're going to try to work through. And in so doing, to try to get a sense, again, we've discussed these issues and there's a lot to say about them, perhaps to get some type of sense, some type of clarity on how to prepare for Rosh Hashanah and indeed what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is all about. Before we take a look at these three levels and then to try to understand of Bnei Marom and then to try to understand the all-inclusive approach, the key we need to understand is that Rosh Hashanah is the day which is the anniversary of the birthday of human beings. Right, Zehayom Tchilat Masecha. This is the day that Adam HaRishon was created. And therefore, when we're talking about what Tshuva is really about, Tshuva doesn't mean repentance, that's Charata. Tshuva means to return. To return to what? To return to the vision of Adam HaRishon before he sinned. To return to that pristine state. This is why, as we've spoken about in Shofros, the major theme is Mamed Har Sinai, is receiving of the Torah. One of the reasons for Shofar is to remind us of the Shofar that was blown at Har Sinai and Mount Sinai in receiving the Torah. All of this motif of Mamed Har Sinai is again to remind us of how Har Sinai Klal Yisrael returned back to that pristine state, Pascha Zumatam, that negativity was taken away from them and they were able to enter back into that state. To a certain degree, what Rosh Hashanah is about, the day which we plan for the entire year, it's about each and every one of us returning back to that starting point, returning back to who potentially we can be, to that Adam HaRishon, to the best we can reach, to try to live to the best way possible, right? Not getting angry at Rosh Hashanah and not wasting time at Rosh Hashanah, just being, you know, the best for 48 hours, the moach, the brains of the year that we implant. And this is indeed a major theme of Rav Pinchas Zal's writings in Moadei HaShanah, where he speaks about in Source 4 that Adam, man, is made up of two ideas, really. The Aleph, the letter Aleph, which is Alufo Shel Olam, the general, the commander of the world. That's what the letter Aleph means, Aluf. Aluf is the commander, and Dam is blood. Our challenge is to be able to make Hashem the master of the world over Adam, over us as a person. That we recognize that what makes us unique is our Nishmas Chaim, is the breath of life that's in us, which is our Ruach Mamalala, which is our ability to speak, which is our ability to communicate, which is our ability to have a relationship with Hashem. In fact, this is the goal of all the mitzvot, Source 5. The rationale behind all the mitzvot is that the person who fulfills them will thereby think about Hashem, be connected to Hashem. This is what Yiddishkeit is about. It's about relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And we know in Source number 6, when Avraham Avinu is about to go to the Akedah, and he says to the servants, what do you see on this mountain, right? Just like Avinu saw an Anan Kashur Lahar, a cloud hovering over the mountain. They said, we see a mountain. So Avraham Avinu said, Shvulachem Poim Achamor, sit here with a donkey, which our sages say you and the donkey see in a similar way. There's no difference between you. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, a person could be around in the world, walking in two legs, yet not be an Adam, but be a donkey. And this is our challenge. Our challenge is, the degree to which a person is an Adam is the degree that he feels Hashem as a true reality, a simple reality that's within his life and close to him. To the extent that a person sees Hashem in this way and conducts himself accordingly, he is fit to be called an Adam. So Rosh Hashanah, the goal of Rosh Hashanah is to return back to Adam HaRishon the way Hashem envisioned him, albeit we're in a state of sin, albeit we can't reach that perfected state, but at least we can reach Adam. Adam being Aleph Dam, that we feel that Hashem is the one who's ruling our lives. That when we blow Tekiyah Shofar, we have in mind that we're Mamlech Hashem Kemelech, that we coronate Hashem as King. And when I coronate Hashem as King, I understand that it's not just saying, you know, Yechi HaMelech, long live the King. It's very much about Umeloch Al Kol Olam Kulo B'Chvodecha, and Hashem, rule over the world, rule over me in my particular life. That in every aspect of my life, I ask myself, will this bring Nachat Ruach to Hashem or not? Is this something that will be pleasing Kivyachol to Hashem or not? That is what Malchios is about. It's about living with Hashem 24/7. Halavai, all year we should live that way. But the very least that we implant in Rosh Hashanah, this reality, this is the theme of Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, that Hashem is Melech. And what it means that Hashem is Melech is Aleph Dam, that the Alufa Shalolam is in part, in control, in reality, in every part of my dam, in every part of my life force, is the reality of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm not just a man walking around on two legs, that I'm akin to a donkey. With this in mind, we could also explain, before we begin now our three levels, the idea that the Sfarim speak about, that when a Kaddish Baruch Hu commands us to blow the shofar, the Svarim speak about that just like Adam, Hashem created him, Vayipach Bapav Nishmas Chaim, Hashem breathed into him a breath of life, right? He formed him from the clay of the earth, but breathed into him a breath of life. So too, when the Chazan says the Pasuk right before Tkiyah Shofar, Allah Elokim B'Truah, Hashem B'Kol Shofar, that Hashem is goes up with the sound of the shofar. Understand, Hashem b'kol shofar on a different level. Hashem himself, kivyochol, is b'kol shofar. He is in the voice of the shofar. He is, as Rav Meitlish points out, the Baal Tokea. He is the one who is blowing the shofar. He is the one, right? The shlichs, the Baal Tokea is just the emissary of Hashem, who's really the one blowing the shofar. And when we hear the shofar blast, we should almost imagine, just like Hashem kivyochol is blowing into the shofar, he's blowing into me, this nishmas chayim, this breath of life. It's a moment of recreation. It's a moment where I can start anew. It's a moment where the past is the past, and now I move forward. And now I can commit myself wholeheartedly and totally at the moment of tkiyas shofar, the time of judgment, to be able to say, Hashem, I feel your breath of life being brought, kivyochol, breathed into me, and I want to live with that reality. I want to live with that consciousness. I want to live with that feeling of aleph dam my entire day and my entire life. With this in mind, my friends, as an introduction, now let's begin to look at these three imageries and see what we're being judged for. The shiur that we're going to give is based primarily on a beautiful essay of Rav Zev Lev, in his Sefer on Festivals of Life, where he understands these three levels, and we'll just, Mirz Hashem, develop it a bit. Rav Lev points out in Source 7, first, as we are judged as a shepherd inspects his sheep. A shepherd inspects and counts his sheep for various reasons. First, he wants to see if they're all present. Perhaps some have run away or died. Similarly, Hashem reviews and judges us to see if we're all still part of his flock. Have we abandoned him and his faith and his Torah? If not totally, then perhaps partially. How solid is our belief in faith? How strong is our commitment to Hashem and his Torah? Second, the shepherd wants to see if the sheep are healthy or sick, whole or blemished. Similarly, Hashem judges if we're fulfilling his mitzvos and are perfecting our midos, or if we're spiritually sickly and blemished. Finally, the shepherd wants to check if each sheep bears his brand and is identifiable as belonging to him. Similarly, Hashem created the world to be populated with human beings who bear his brand and therefore testify to the existence of their shepherd. Man is precious, for he's created in the image, in Hashem's image. Every human being is individually scrutinized as to how manifest and visible this brand in their life, how well one is represented Hashem's image. The Jew is called Tzom Kedoshim, holy sheep, who represent not only Hashem's existence, but his holiness. We bear a special brand that must bring honor and glory to the shepherd because we are his elite flock. Each Jew is judged in how his conduct from the past year reflects holiness and godliness as a member of the kingdom of priests and the holy nation. And this aspect of B'nai Marum as being sheep corresponds to the Malchios of the three parts of Musaf, that Hashem is a king. It's about how we measure up as subjects of Hashem's kingdom. Indeed, as the Nesivos Shalom points out in Sources 8 through 12, that this judgment of how well we are living up to that brand, that seal of godliness in our lives, is not only on human beings, it's on the entire creation, where the creation is asked of every part, even the malachim yachapesur, kilo alta yochesur, even the angels are in trepidation. Every part of creation is being judged today. How well has it lived up to its ability to create kvod shamayim, to its purpose in this world to bring godliness into this world? And as we know in Source 10, that demachar dehayom haras olam, we know the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about every Rosh Hashanah, it's as if the world is destroyed and then recreated. So now that the world is recreated, all aspects of creation are then put in judgment. And the question is, are we living up to the vision that Hashem has for every part of creation? And this is the judgment that we have. So while this is the judgment for all of creation, how much more is it for us who have in Source number 11, to the Baal Bechira, the Nishma Sabriya, we have the question of, are we living as walking Kiddush Hashem's? Are we living with the reality that everything that I do is bringing Kvod Shamayim into this world? That's the question that is being asked. We've spoken about the story many years ago. It's worth repeating here of the Maisa of in Israel, it's very common that when little kids cross the street, here by themselves, that they wait at the street corner and they ask an adult, can you cross me the street? Very, very common. And they go over to perfect strangers and ask them, you know, can you cross me the street? So this little girl standing 5, 6 years old is standing on the street corner, and she goes over to a woman not yet religious and said, can you cross me the street? And the woman says, well, why can't you cross the street by yourself? And she says, my mommy won't let me. And this woman says, well, your mommy isn't here, so what difference does it make? All right, we're not commenting on, we don't ask questions on stories, how a woman can say this. So this little girl says, my mommy may not be watching me, but Hashem watches all the time. This woman was so taken by this little girl's response that she became religious. This is what we're talking about, a walking Kiddush Hashem. All of us walking down the street, people look at us. How do we behave? Do we litter on the street? Do we talk out loud, you know, in a way that's, you know, inappropriate? In the workforce, do people say, oh, I won't use this language around you because I know you're a person who's sensitive to language? That's a walking Kiddush Hashem. This is what we're talking about. Hashem judges us in terms of each and every one of us individually, whatever aspect of life we're in. Are we people who bring about, as an aura around us, this is Kiddush Hashem, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we behave. Rosh Hashanah is evaluation of how much am I living up to bringing Hashem's glory into this world. How much of that seal of the King am I wearing? Am I wearing with pride? And that is why, my friends, Rav Rotberg and Moda Labina gives a gewaltig, like one-liner, that gives us a whole different perspective of what Rosh Hashanah is about. And he says, every year Rosh Hashanah, it's a re-examination. We have to look at our priorities, we have to look at our focuses and make sure that the way I interact with people is an interaction of Kiddushim Shemayim, right? The storekeepers and anyone who we interact with. This is a chiddush, this is a renewal of our lives. And the whole fact that Mamet are seen as a major motif is we realize that the only way that we can really live a Torah lifestyle, the only way we can live a lifestyle of emulating Hashem is through a Torah lifestyle. V'zehu, here's the key in the double underline, bold. V'zehu mitzvah sayom de Rosh Hashanah, the real mitzvah of the day. Yes, it's shofar, and yes, it's hamlachas Hashem. But there's another aspect of the mitzvah hayom. It's something that needs our attention. V'zehu mitzvah sayom de Rosh Hashanah, livchor b'chayim. You know what Rosh Hashanah is about? It's to choose the path of life. This is really a mitzvah saseh. Like the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva. To choose life. Today, when we are, so to speak, being recreated anew, that shofar blast, the recreation of Adam, the world is recreated, we're recreated. At this moment of recreation, we're not the same person as we were. It's as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu stands us up for the first time and gives us a mission. You're here to bring Kvod Shamayim, the glory of God, into this world. And our response on Rosh Hashanah, yes, it's to be Mamlich Hashem, to coronate Hashem. But if we were to categorize that mitzvah, we were to be able to explain what that mitzvah is really about in our terms, it's a mitzvah of uvacharta b'chayim, to choose life. To choose life means that I'm choosing a lifestyle that's going to be aligned with the will of Hashem at all times and all places. That's a v'charta v'chayim. And this is what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is about leaving that world of darkness. It's about the Vayhi Or, the original light that Adam Rishon was able to use before it was concealed. To be able to use that light, L'David Hashem, Ori, Ori, Zo Rosh Hashanah. It's the light of Rosh Hashanah. It's the light of clarity. It's that special concealed light that Adam Rishon had when he was first created for the first first 36 hours of its life. This is the light that we have every Rosh Hashanah, that original light returns. It's the light where I see that there is no option in life. Of course I can, you know, shop till I drop, and of course I can be involved in the physicality of this world for the sake of physicality. And it's so easy to just drown in that type of world. And when we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah, all I'm thinking about is, you know, will I get this dress for my three-year-old? And will I get these shoes? And will I have this type of food? And, you know, what should I serve for every meal? Of course. And we say, oh, that's in order to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. It may be, it may not be. But the real way to prepare for Rosh Hashanah is, am I prepared to live a life that's going to be aligned with Hashem's will? I'll call Tzad Vishal at every step of the way. Uvacharta b'chayim. You know, the imagery that comes to my mind when we speak about this idea. Many of us have used GPSs in our cars, and we know that navigational system will tell you to go one way, and you go another way, and you see on the screen that the little car is going this way, and another little car is going that way, or the line is going this way, and your little car is going that way, and you see that you veered from the road, and you somehow, you know, sometimes it tells you recalculate, and sometimes it says, you know, go back to the highlighted route. So, chacham, you know, if I knew how to get back to the highlighted route, I would go there myself. You know, it doesn't really help me. So sometimes it's a struggle. This is what life is about. Sometimes we have a clear direction, and oftentimes we don't. Tshuva, we know, is called B'yam Derech. Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Chaim points out it's referred to as B'yam Derech, in the sea, the path of the sea, because it's not a charted course. We have to chart our own course with tshuva. We have to understand in life and almost have this vision preparing for Rosh Hashanah of where is my little car and where is that straight path of Acharta B'chaim, and where have I veered off? Is it in my midos that I get angry easily? Is it in my laziness? Is it in my, you know, whatever it is, whatever midos it is, however I spend my time, whatever it is, to see where am I not on the path of Acharta B'chaim, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisions me to live a life, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisions me to be able to live a life consecrated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is really what the tshuva is about. As Rav Schlesinger points out in Elahei Mo'adai, in Source 16, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is, in the Arrow 17 rather, is what the Rambam writes, Zichru Borachem V'abitu L'Nafshal Sechem. You know what the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is about? Remember Hashem. Look at your nefesh. Zechiras Habare Levat. When I remember Hashem, when I vacharta b'chaim, when I make that conscious choice, when I'm mamlich Hashem, when I make Hashem king over me, and I say, this is the path that I need to be on, that moment that I'm able to see with clarity that this is the path, albeit I may not yet, that's going to be the service to make tshuva and Yom Kippur, getting that car back on the right road. But as soon as I'm able to see the path that I need to be on, to a certain degree, I'm on the right path. I'm no longer lost, right? If I'm just wandering around and I don't have, this is the highlighted route. So you're right, I am lost. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'charta v'chaim, I'm giving you the path. The path is called Torah. The path is called Hamlachas Hashem. The path is called understanding the oneness of Hashem and the reality of Ein Od Bovato. There's no one except Hashem. The path is Adon Olam Hashem Alap B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, to understand that only Hashem is the one who's created. It was created the world and exists before the world and after the world. There's no other reality. When I understand that, I understand that this is where I need to be. At that moment, when I have that clarity, Hashem Ori, that light of understanding that life is about choosing the right path, when I'm able to see that I veered off from the vision that Hashem has for a Torah Jew, at that moment, I've already done tshuva. At that moment, I'm already focused in on how can I get back to this path. That is why Lefizeh Barur Delo Nohe Kol Darche Tshuva Bimei Rosh Hashanah, and the asterisk 17. That's why we don't have the Vidu and all these things on Rosh Hashanah, because the Vidu is all about a chet. It's all about sin. This tshuva is the ultimate tshuva. Tshuva is about leaving the path, leaving that road that I'm on, that's leading me in the wrong direction. The bad mythos, my anger, my irritability, my stinginess, whatever it is, it's understanding that I need to leave that path and to go back on that right road. That's the idea of Tshuva Rosh Hashanah. And the Tshuva Rosh Hashanah, therefore, is manifested in saying over and over again, not just saying, but feeling, realizing, and living those 48 hours that perfect itself of Aleph Dam, of the Alufo Shalolam, controls me, and I don't control, the Yetzer Hara doesn't control me. So I heard Rabbi Tarshi speak about last night when we say the Piyut, Melech Elyon and Melech Evyon, the king on high and the king who's impoverished. Who's the Melech Elyon? That's a Yetzer Hara. That's our evil inclination. And yet we call him a Melech. We call him a king. Because we do coronate him as king. The Dam, the life force of if I want to do whatever I want, is a very strong life force. And we have to, on Rosh Hashanah, be able to realize that Melech Evyon is not the reality. Make Hashem the king. Be able to refocus ourselves. That's the first idea of what Rosh Hashanah is about. And wear that badge with pride. That we are indeed have the seal of Hashem, Ritzon Kedoshim, Uvacharta V'chayim, to choose life. Source 20. A second facet of our judgment is that Hashem evaluates the progress we have made in the past year compared to our level in the previous year. Even if we have been faithful representatives of Hashem in the previous year, this is not enough. A Jew must constantly seek higher and higher levels of perfection. He must be dynamic and not stagnant. It says, precious are Jewish people, for they're called banim to Hashem. Aside from the meaning children, banim can also mean boning, builders, who constantly advance and progress. If our status in the past year has not shown growth and improvement, we will find lacking, no matter how lofty our status is. Thus we're judged individually as those ascending the path, one file to base tomorrow, on how much we have ascended over the previous year. And this corresponds to the second aspect of the Rosh Hashanah Mosaf, the Zichronos, where our present is viewed against the backdrop of the remembrance of the past. Rabbi Fran did a piece we've done many times, 21, listen to your messages, change is a difficult thing. And he says, many people are guilty of the sin of Shalom Yeli, ki b'shrivus li b'elech, loosely translated means, I'm fine, leave me alone. The Chazon Ish calls someone who displays this attribute a Beinoni b'shita, a person who deliberately chooses to be mediocre as a matter of principle. There's no standing still in life. We know the famous idea of the Altar of Slobodka in 22, that Adam calls himself Adam because he comes from the Adama, from the ground. So why is that such great insight? What does this really mean? So the Elder Slobodka explains, a human being is essentially like the Adam of the ground. You put things in the ground, they grow. You work, you hoe, you till, you fertilize, you prune, you harvest, you plant again. That's the nature of the ground. A human being is the same. His whole life is a continuous cycle of effort and growth, a constant battle that never ends. The second question that we're asked the Rosh Hashanah, if the first is, are we carrying the seal of the king? Am I a walking Kiddush Hashem? Am I able to say, my mommy may not be watching, but Hashem is watching. Can I live that reality? The second aspect of life is, am I growth oriented? Am I different this year than I was last year? What have I accomplished this year? Have I changed? What mitzvos have I worked on? Where have I pushed myself beyond my comfort zone? How I've become a greater person than I was last year? If I'm just doing the same things and I'm keeping Torah mitzvos and I'm just floating through life so that I'm held accountable. This is the ascending the path in Beis Maro that I have to be going up in life. I have to be able to say I'm doing things this year that I didn't do the previous year. I'm able to add to my repertoire of who and what I am. It could be the smallest areas, but I've changed. I'm moving. And this is one of the greatest challenges that we have. It's hard for us to change. We struggle with change. There's a beautiful imagery that Rav Pinkus speaks about, we've also done in the past, 23 through 25, where the vision of Yechezkel in the Chayos HaKodesh in the Maaseh Merkava. He says, I saw 23, four chayos, and this is their appearance. They have the likeness of Adam. Each one has four faces and four wings. Their legs are straight legs, and their faces and wings are separated above. And the chayos are ratzo vashov, rush back and forth like the appearance of a flash of lightning. And we know they have the face of a bull, they have the face of a lion, they have the face of an eagle, the face of a man. Notes the Rambam, unlike Rashi, that the wings and faces of the four chayos are separated above but connected below. And each of the four chayos face a different direction. If you understand this pshat of the Rambam, says Rav Pinkus Zatzal, you find something very fascinating. Each one is ratzo vashov. It runs forward and comes back. You know what this means? They all try to move in a different direction. But because they're all attached at the bottom, albeit that they move forward, but at the same time, they're being pulled back by the other forms that push them backwards. And where do they land up? Absolutely nowhere. 25, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem doesn't examine us whether we have the likeness of Avram. Everyone has the likeness of Adam. Everyone hears the shofar and daven. Everyone strengthens themselves spiritually in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and turns into an angel as it were. The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is about how much true Adam each person has, not how much likeness of Adam he has. In other words, how much does he turn to his Creator? How much is his spirit that speaks in Torah and Tefillah? This is the substance of Adam, but someone who puts half this time to Torah and Tefillah and half the time to idle matters, this is not an Adam at all. He only has the likeness of an Adam. He also has the likeness of the lion. He also has the likeness of the eagle and the likeness of the ox. The question is, are we able to move forward? Right? We look like, hey, I look like an Adam. I'm davening with kavanah and I'm doing chesed. I'm doing a lot. But as much as I'm doing, I'm being pulled back by my other temptations that's stopping me from really growing, that's pulling me back from really being able to become the Eved Hashem that I can really be. And this is our challenge, to be able to extricate ourselves from the other three and not just look like an Adam, but be an Adam. Aleph Dam, the Alufo Shel Olam, over the Dam, over the blood force. My friends, this is a beautiful idea that the Sichat Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Roth Zatzal, develops on this. And he says, B'yirayin yirekan, kayemet tofa'a sheba adam shenechshav shomer mitzvos mishayech litzibur haredi. There's a phenomenon that people are from people, they belong to the religious community, aval hu adam katan, but nevertheless they remain small. We are they really immersed in the physical world, the lion, the eagle. Sham nimsei chayuto, that's where their life force is found. Asuku b'sfirat mamon, he's so involved, or she's so involved in money, in eating, in drinking, in beautifying their apartment, in going on trips. Oh, we're not talking about here anyone doing anything wrong. Ava me'idach, however, listen closely. Ko chayav hu nimsa kiv yachu bebrechad, ma'im redudim, double underline. Your whole life, you're like in shallow water. You're not moving. You're not going anywhere. Hu eno yodea klau machovoso ba'olamo. You never really think, why am I here on planet Earth? Avodas Hashem imenu v'hala. The real avodas Hashem of growth, of movement, of development is beyond you. We're so involved in the physicality of the world that we forget what the spiritual message is behind all this. I'm not saying this person's a sinner, but he's very far away from doing Ritzon Hashem. And the person like this will very often be satisfied with mediocrity in their avodas Hashem. And therefore, what tshuva means on this level is sharei tshuva perusha lashuv likarev b'Hashem. V'achai kach yoter rachok u'mimi shi'ader chavato b'lo b'rach shi'nichchal b'chatei misuyamim. Tshuva means to be able to live a life of meaning. Tshuva means to be able to examine what's blocking me. Which one of those animals is pulling me down? that I'm living this life of, yes, I'm going through the motions. We're talking about frum people here. We're not talking about people who aren't Shomer Torah Mitzvah. We're people sending their kids to the finest Beis Yaakovs and Yeshivas. We're not talking about that, right? The finest Hechsherim. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a mindset. We're talking about an attitude. We're talking about, where is your mind during the day? What are you dreaming about? Are you dreaming about your next acquisition of? Or are you dreaming about your next project of chesed? What keeps you up at night? What gives you this rush during the day? You know, the example that I've used many times, I'm going to use it again. You come back from work, you're exhausted, you're on your couch with a cup of coffee, it's 8 o'clock at night, and you're ready just to take a magazine or a book and just collapse. You see, you need like a half hour rest. A friend calls and says, you know, there's a speaker from Eretz Israel who just came in, and they're speaking tonight, they're supposed to be really good. And you say, oh, I really want to go, but I'm so tired, I can't. I take good notes, and I'd love to hear what they say. Whether you actually hear it or not, it's a big question mark. 5 minutes later, the phone rings again. Yes, hello, a friend calls. This clothing store is having a 50% sale on clothes, right? It's a great sale. So what do you say to your friend? Give me 5 minutes, I'll put my shade on and shoes on, I'll meet you downstairs. What message are you giving? What message are you giving yourself? What message are you giving your children? What is the chiyus in your life? Is it the 50% sale, or is it the nitzchiyus of listening to this Torah shiur? And again, there's nothing wrong with going shopping, don't get me wrong. But what waters are we immersed in? Where's our focus? What is the message we're giving over to ourselves and our children of what is that path in life? Rav Roth speaks about the Medrash, the Gemara that says, when Yosef was sold, Vayashav Reuven Labor, Reuven returns to the pit. Where was Reuven? He was besakel batanito in 28. He was fasting. He was in mourning for the sin he did of moving the beds with his mother's tent and Bilhah's tent. So the Gemara says he was the first one to do tshuva. Reuven patach tshuva tchila. And therefore, Ben Beno, Hoshea is the one who is the famous Shabbat Shuvah after Shuv Yisrael L'Shem Lokecha. So the obvious question, the first you asked was, Reuven, the first one to do tshuva? Adam Rishon did tshuva. Mitzvah Shirli Mashabbat. Cain did tshuva. Gadol Vanim and Yisro. Many people did tshuva. He wasn't the first. So the explanation is, the end of 28, is that Cain and Adam Rishon ayu lifnei Reuven. But Cain and Rishon asu tshuva mashana karim aveiros. Pshayim. Vavonos. That Adam Rishon and Cain did tshuva for sins. Reuven is the first for doing tshuva of a whole different category. And that is for recognizing that he's being impetuous. He's not thinking things through clearly enough. Pachas kamayim. Unstable as waters, Yaakov Avinu benches him, is what led him to sin. Tshuva is not just for sin. Tshuva is to be able to locate. What is it that leads me down a certain path? Tshuva is about recognizing who and what we are, to be able to know where's that point where I've made that wrong turn and now I'm totally lost. Tshuva is about returning back to that point where I veered off the road to be able to reroute myself. Reuven is the first to do tshuva of this nature in 31 rather. Reuven is the one who does tshuva for living a life of chayim b'shiflus. V'lachein ikar tshuva yimatzav ha-rishoni al v'tei shav al ha-pachad ma'aseyem. There's a whole different aspect of tshuva, and this is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is yaseh kol shebi'echoto in the asterisk. To have a vision for ourselves. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is to be able to reorient ourselves. La'lo mito pachad ha-masim, to raise ourselves up from mediocrity. Haynu la'so tshuva al-kach shalo chayim et, that we don't live at the chayim et ha-shaveh ha-shirah rishonah besils misharim, that I'm not living a life of the first line of misharim. I'm still sharing. She's barrier, she's amenit, it's all done. I'm I've been true of that. I don't live a life asking myself, why am I here in this world? So Yikar Tshuva is Rosh Hashanah. And on this second level, this is the Yikar of Tshuva, of Rosh Hashanah. To live a life of recognizing that I'm missing the boat of what should give me real joy in life. What should give me the real geschmack in life. What should give me the chios in life. Where should I be yearning for and moving toward is a life of least anek al Hashem, to have enjoyment in being an Evan Hashem, to be, have clarity of what I'm doing here. So my friends, the first aspect of Rosh Hashanah is judgment of, do I have the seal of the king? Am I a person who's walking around being able to do Hashem's will? Am I walking Kiddush Hashem? Malchios, Mimamlech Hashem. The first aspect of Rosh Hashanah, the tshuva is v'charta v'chayim, to choose life, to choose the correct path. The second question we're asked in Rosh Hashanah is, have you improved in life? It's not just enough to have lived a life in mediocrity this past year, to have lived the basic level of having the seal of the king, but in what ways have you improved? In what ways have you made the focus of your life that we're here in this world, Sheets Bari Bris Ames Adam Achavosa Ba'olamo? Have you taken that first line of Mesil Sisharim and made it part and parcel of you, to have clarity of what we're doing here in this world, to be able to understand why Hashem put me here, to be able to be the best Evan Hashem I can be? The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is the tshuva of being able to have the ability to come back to my purpose in this world, my focus in this world, to understand that I'm not here to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I'll die, but I'm here to be able to enjoy in the deepest sense, to have a relationship with, in the deepest sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, my friends, this is the third aspect of judgment, and that is, however, 33, even if we have progressed and grown in exemplary fashion, and truly represented the Selam Elohim, the divine image. There's yet another aspect that's considered. Are we fulfilling our unique mission in life? Every Jew is blessed with abilities and talents that are divinely provided to him, so he can make his unique contribution to the world. As soldiers with specific missions and tasks, we're individually reviewed and scrutinized as to whether we're developing and realizing our unique personalities. And this relates to the third aspect in the Aaron 33 of Shofros, the idea of the Akedah Yitzhak, the blowing of the shofar, the ram's horn, that are we doing our specific mission like Adam Arishon, like Avraham Avinu did by the Akedah? And this is the question. It's not just at a generic level, I'm here with the seal of the king. We all have seals. The same seal. I'm created with Tzelem Elokim. Chiba Yisrael Shino Dalov Shini Rabbi Tzelem Elokim. It's not only a general seal. And it's not generally we all have to grow and develop and have this ability of the clarity of what we're doing here in this world. But I have my own car. I have my own path. And the question that has to be asked is, am I living the path that I am supposed to live? Am I traversing all the roads that I was supposed to traverse this year? Am I pulling out all the kochos and nefesh that I was able to over this year? Am I taking all the unique opportunities that were given to me this year and being able to utilize them? As Vasil Spavova, Rav Eisenberger points out in 34, that we have every person, we each have a specific mission that we have to create in this world. And this is our job. And the asterisk in 35, and it's not just that I have a job for the year, I have a job for every single day. If one doesn't pay attention to this, and you only think of the great picture, even not only have you lost golden opportunities that you'll encounter in your life, to do the will of Hashem. You've missed out on your purpose in life. If not now, when? Each and every one of us has to understand, in the asterisk in 36a, they have ma'orotava pratiyot. We have our unique situations in life. We have that which happens to us. And ein lachad ma'orado me'lachaveiro. My life is tailor-made to me, which is different than everybody else. And therefore, we have to ask ourselves, based on the situation, the individuals there, the whole Avira. Am I able to live the life that Hashem wants based on all the props that He gives me for my life? And this is where it's at. Vashar Shachol said, Muna Pshuta, in 36c, Likbo et Baro, Bidaro, Bidiato, She'emi Kreb Alam. This is all predicated on the fact there's hashkacha prati. There are no mistakes. My mission in life is not somebody else's mission in life. And I can't waste my life looking over and craning my neck to see what somebody else has to do when I have my own mission in life. And the question of Rosh Hashanah, and this is such an important question, is have I taken the opportunities that Hashem has given me this past year? And have I lived up to the potential that He has for me? And we know, the Sfarim say, Sichur Yischaskut brings down, Rosti Meir Zilberberg, that before we're born, Hashem shows every neshama, every day of our life, and what we're supposed to accomplish. And every year, Hashem looks at that vision of where we should be, and where we were. And it's almost as if the judgment is, the Sfarim say, that we look at that image, and we judge ourselves. That Hashem, for example, has made me, He's wired me, not me personally, one, to be an empathic person, to be a sensitive person. And I know that about myself. So then I look at the year and I think back about it, and part of Rosh Hashanah is that we are, or our neshamas at least, are replayed the year and the way we should have been. And we judge ourselves. And we see, you know what? Over and over again, Hashem has put into my life people who are needy people. And I've seen over and over again that I've had no patience for them. Oh, you again? Oh, gosh, they're calling again. Caller ID. Thank God I have caller ID. I can ignore them. Or do I say, you know what? Hashem made me an empathic person. I have time. And again, you have to know your family situation, your life situation. But let's construe a story, because we're making it up anyway, that I do have the time. And I say to myself, you see, over and over again, I've would rather read a book than talk to this person. I'd rather go shopping than talk to this person. I see that Hashem has given me many opportunities to bring godliness into this world by doing a chesed, to help these needy people. And I've messed up. Rosh Hashanah, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, is to be able to judge ourselves, to see where I have been given these special aspects of my kochos hanefesh, have I utilized them to the fullest? Am I developing myself with all that Hashem has prepared for me? And that's why Siftei Chaim 39 through 41 speaks about that. What is the judgment of Rosh Hashanah? Hine Yom Hadin. What are we being judged for if we're not asking for forgiveness? The judgment is very much like doing an inventory in a business. Hashem says, well, I've given you all of these kochos hanefesh, and I've given you all of these gifts, and I see you squandered them. I see you haven't used them. So you know what? Next year I won't give you as many because you don't need them. So why should you don't use them? Why should I give them to you? And lehefech, if I see over the year that I have used it, or at Rosh Hashanah, I come to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and I say, you know what, Hashem? I realize, Tkiya Shofar, I do that cheshbon nefesh, that introspection. Hashem, you know what? You've made me an empathic person. And this is why we need Elul. You can't look at Rosh Hashanah and say, you know, start during Tkiya Shofar thinking about where I've messed up and now where I need to improve. You got to work on it beforehand. Make a list of what your strengths are. And then I can come to Hashem during Tkiya Shofar and say, you know what, Hashem? You've given me these abilities. You've given me to be a kind, sensitive person. You've given me whatever it is, a certain ability for. And I see, I've messed up. Hashem, give me another chance. Tshuva means let me return back to myself. Give me more opportunities this year. Allow me a second chance or a 50th chance, however old we are, to be able this year, give me the kelim. I'm going to try harder this year. I'm going to make an attempt to be able to have clarity on who I am and what my strengths are. And then when those opportunities come and knock on my door, I'll be alert to them. I'll be like, you know, meet us alert. Ah! There is a time for empathy. Thank you for calling. There is a time for sensitivity. Thank you for calling. And I'll be able to grab those opportunities. And I'll be able to live that aspect of Kiddush Hashem. That's what we're being judged for. As Rav Pinkas Atzal notes in 37, the soldiers of David HaMelech's army, the soldiers don't go to war like a bunch of sheep walking in a flock. Rather, each soldier's specific task that is clearly assigned for him. And we have to live up to that. Now, my friends, if I understand that there's an assessment and there's an accountability on Rosh Hashanah, am I having the seal of the king? Malchios, am I making Hashem Melech uvachar tevachayim? Am I kivnei marom going up, not only like sheep, but going up that path? Am I constantly moving up in life? Zichronos look best at the past year. In what way am I different this year than I was last year? Am I living a life of mediocrity, or am I living a life of movement forward? Am I living a life of growth? This is the question that I need to ask myself. And the third question is, am I a person who's living up to my unique potential in life? And that's what Tshuva Rosh Hashanah is about, of making Hashem my king, of being able to know what that path is that I need to reorient myself, to be able to see where is that point of origin, of where I veered off, to be able to get back. All right, let me get back to that, you know, intersection where I made the wrong turn, and now I know I need to go straight and not make a right. And also to realize that my unique car has my own path, has my own GPS that nobody else has, that I have to live as well. But then, my friends, there's another aspect. And that is 38, the judgment does not conclude there. As the Gemara informs us, although we are judged individually, we're also scrutinized by Hashem collectively with one all-encompassing glance. The implication is that in addition to being evaluated as to how we act as individuals on the three aforementioned aspects, we're also assessed as to how we function in the communal structure as members of Klal Yisrael. The arrow, everyone is a member of various communities, family, neighborhood, school, city, country, Klal Yisrael, the world at large. Even if we're exemplary individual sheep, we're further judged as how we perform as part of the flock. And that's the first aspect. Are we part of the tzibur? Are we part of the group? As far as our progress and elevation in the past year, we'll also evaluate as to how our individual growth affected those around us. Have I been an inspiration for those who are looking up to me that they too should grow? And finally, 39, one soldier alone cannot win a war, only part of a totality of an army. Contributing its unique part, but working in harmony with all the other components, can be productive in contributing toward the victory. On Rosh Hashanah, each individual is evaluated and assessed as to how successfully he developed his unique talents and how effectively he worked in harmony with all the other unique members of the army of Hashem. And that's the idea of that we're being judged on the essence of the ani, of the I, of our personal makeup, the Aleph, is the numerical one representing the individual. The final letter of the yud numerically is a tzibur, is a group. And the nun is the 50 gates of wisdom that enable me to be able to link being an individual and moving to a nation. And this, as Masilas Bavavim points out in 41 through 44, a beautiful essay in Parshas Ra'eh, this is our challenge, to be at the one and the same time, to be, and also Shabbat Shuvah, Torah, to be of the one at the same time an individual, but at the same time part of a community, and to know that the two are not in contradiction with each other. Amor Matash, Tzarich Adam Lachos HaChevel B'Shnei Rashim, we have to hold the two parts of the rope. Achdus V'Yichidus, being collective and being individual. Mitzad Echad, I love the word Atzmo, Kichelik Min HaKlal, on the one hand we have to see ourselves as part of the community, and part of Am Yisrael, and at the same time I have to sarich lakir v'lorot et atzmo ki yochi, that I have to look at myself as an individual, as if the whole world was relying on me, and I can, you know, shift the balance of the world in decisions that I make. And I, if a person, if I see myself as just a small speck among millions of people, I feel like it doesn't make any difference. The mushel that Rav Eisenberger gives is similar to a pilot who doesn't have a co-pilot. He is running the ship alone, the airplane alone. So there's a big responsibility, right? You know, he can't drift off to sleep because the whole plane is literally riding on his wings. That's how we have to feel, that we are an individual, the whole plane is riding in our wings. And he speaks about it at length, in this Russia, how we have to teach our children this idea of being an individual, of being unique, of being special, that we have something that no one else has. But at the very same time that we speak about uniqueness and our individuality, we can't forget that we're driving the plane. We have our own planes to drive, but all of Klal Yisrael is riding on our planes, is riding on our efforts. And that dynamic is something to keep in mind. And that is why, as Rabbi Lev points out here, a very famous idea, Rav Simcha Zissel used to post a notice on the entrance to the Talmud Torah of Kelma, Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's a reminder to those who entered that the best way to merit a good judgment was to be a person who benefited and was needed by others. Then when judgment was not limited to its own meager merit, but had taken into consideration the merit of all whom benefited, who depended on him. That's what the Isha Shunamit said to Elisha on Vayhi Ayom of Rosh Hashanah. Do you want me to speak to the king? She said, no, but Toch Ami Anokhi Yosavet. I don't want to be singled out. There is a very important idea that although we're being judged as individuals in Rosh Hashanah, no doubt about it, the three levels we mentioned, we're also being judged as to how we fit into Beskira Achat, in one look, how we fit into the community. And to the extent that we are a person who the community needs, to the extent that I'm involved in Tzarchei Tzibur, to that extent, even if I as an individual haven't been as successful as I should be in my individual judgment, I will still be able to benefit from a positive judgment because I at least am good at that part. If I'm not doing 100% on the individual, and who of us can say that we were able to fit all three levels of the sheep, of the path, and of the soldier, that we've lived up to our responsibility? It's very hard to say all of this. So at least we can say, Hashem, in the schus, in the merit of being part of the tzibur, part of the din, part of the judgment, I can come out with a positive din to be able to affect my entire din, my entire judgment. And that is the question of how much we're connected to the community and how much the community needs me. And for all of us, that's different. It could be taking on a certain project that everyone knows in the community that this is this person's project. They do the chametz drive. They do the bikur cholim. They do, and if a person has little kids and they're limited in doing that project, so they'll do something else. But every person should be able to say, to find some area where this is where I can help the community out, where I can be involved in my shul, my school, in whatever project, take a project on in school and lead the luncheon or lead whatever it is. Whatever kochos hanefesh I have to be able to do that, to be able to be successful in that. I know a Rebbe in a first grade, a Rebbe in one of the schools here, that asked the parents to give a meister, to give a tenth, not of their money, but of their time, that every parent at back to school night has to write down what area they specialize in and be able to come to the classroom and give of their talent. So if one person was telling me she's great at making sufganiyot, so she came and made sufganiyot on Hanukkah. Another person was very talented in art. She did an art project with the kids on whatever topic they were learning. To be able to give of yourself in very small ways or in very great ways to the community. And finally, my friends, our final idea. Aside from being the person whom the community needs by giving of ourselves to the community, one way to be involved with the community, and we've stressed this many times, is davening for the community. At Rosh Hashanah, when you're standing there in the Sanatokev, mi yichye mi yomos, mi yivaleit, who's going to be born, look around you. Who needs children in the shul you're davening in? Who needs shiduchim? Who needs parnasa? Who needs refuah? Don't only focus in on yourself. Being part of the tzibur, being part of the community is very much about davening for other people. Thinking about other people, saying, Hashem, please keep in mind so-and-so, and that this person should have Yeshua, and this person should have salvation. That is somebody who is community-oriented and not just focusing on the self. The story that somebody recently told me, I didn't get all the details. I'll tell you the story the way I heard it, of Rav Schwab, who got up in the Ilah in his shul one year and spoke about the importance of the Ilah, Yom Kippur, the gates are closing, whatever you want, storm the heavens and ask for it. The following year he got up and he said, you know, I spoke about last year about storming the heavens, whatever you want, ask for it. You know what? That's correct, but there's even a better way to utilize this time. He said, let's not just daven for ourselves. Let's look around and daven for other people at this time that the gates are about to close. And he noted that there were two people in that community, one who didn't have children after 10 years of marriage and one 14 years of marriage. He said, I want all of us to daven for these two families that they should be benched this year with children. The following Yom Kippur, one of them had a bris, one family, and 4 months later, the second family had a bris. My friends, this is the koach of davening. This is the koach of Hashem breathing life into us. The life force is not just about us. To really be in the Tzelem Elokim, in the image of God, is Olam Chesed Yibana, the essence of Hashem, as we've spoken about, Mahu Chanu Nafatachanu, is to be able to give to others, be able to have mercy on others. And that's our real challenge of Aleph Dam, to take that Adam, to take that imagery of Rosh Hashanah, the time of Tkiyah Shofar, to feel that Hashem is breathing life into me, to Malchios, to Mimamlech Hashem, that I feel like the Aleph, the Alufel Shel Olam, is in control of my Dam, the entirety of my being. Hashem, let me be a person who has this cognizance of you at all times in my life, and allow me to emulate you to the fullest extent by being a giving person, by being a person who's connected to the tzibur, by a person who's connected to the community, a person who cares about the community, a person who davens for the community with that same life force as I have for others. And we'll conclude with the idea we've spoken about of Rav Shur, of why and Lekach Valipov, why the heart is toward the left side of a person. So the middle, but toward the left side of the body. The right side is the stronger side. And it gives such a gewaltic answer that my left side is to the right of the person near me. The whole point of having a heart is to be able to give to another person. Rosh Hashanah, the Aleph Dam, is to make me the best I can be. And to be able to realize the best I can be then has to impact all those who I come in contact with. Wish everybody a good Gebenshur for ourselves, for all of Klal Yisrael. We should have a Ksiva Chasima Tova, and that we should be able to live a life where our car is aligned on the correct path as we move up, Mesila Bekel, we move up to the path of the house of Hashem, Hashanah Tova.